You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Ian Johnson.
From the AfterBuzz studios in Los Angeles, California, and streaming live on Ustream, this is AfterBuzz TV for Breaking Bad. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest Breaking Bad news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, picking up where the show leaves off and the buzz continues, it's AfterBuzz TV for Breaking Bad.
All right, well, welcome, everybody, and thank you for joining us for another AfterBuzz of Breaking Bad Season 4, Episode 10, entitled Salute. I'm your host, John Comerford. I'm joined in the studio by Kevin Undergaro and Big Ben Bottomley. Okay, first off, right off the bat, guys, how badass is Gus? I mean,
we knew he was badass, yeah. But what Ben and I were talking about is how much you were rooting for him and Mike as well.
Yeah, yeah.
And even though earlier on, and I think I said this last week, I was totally against him. But when I saw him lose who I believe was his lover, I had a lot of compassion for him. And now I'm like, no, F that. No, we got to, we got to get behind Mike and Gus now. Yeah. Still ultimately I'm behind Walt. But
of course.
Yeah. I mean.
But haven't they done a great job of giving you somebody else to hate worse than Gus?
I don't know. I mean, how many more AfterBuzz is about. Yes, I do.
Okay, yes, please.
Yes,
it's
a drama queen.
About. Thank you very much.
Vince Gilligan.
It's just a masterful job of giving us somebody else to throw all our hatred and anger at so that we're rooting for the bad guy.
And I think maybe setting it up so Gus and Mike will maybe be around for the next season.
I mean, that's what's great. The one thing for this episode that I was really noticing is how far down. I mean, I thought they took Walt down really far last week by losing in that fight.
Yeah, but one then, more level to go.
Yeah, exactly. I just went, oh my God. And how low are they going to take this guy before they bring him back up? Because he just seemed so humiliated. I'm
the
so
underwear,
beaten.
You know, the tidy whiteys.
Yeah, and the garage door coming up and having the, just that whole scene with his son. I mean, I don't even have a son and I felt horrible.
Awful.
We think he's hit rock bottom. Now,
yeah, but and it just gets worse.
Next week it might even get worse.
Yeah, just because I really thought,
That was it.
I did.
And then now we see in the preview, which I don't want to get into the previews yet, but, just seeing the shot. I mean, Ben, you might be right. There's a shot of him on the ground.
Exactly. Like he's going to
maybe
down again.
Maybe he hits another level. Although we'll get into predictions. I think this was it. I think this is the lowest for now. That he went, and I think can we just talk?
Just jump right in, yeah. Because this is where I wanted to go. And you go ahead with.
Well, I was going to say, I want to just say how lucky all the Emmy recipients, the males, are this year to not have Brian Cranston competing.
The first person they should thank at their acceptance speeches. Should thank Brian Cranston
because this guy's performance. Forget it. Who the hell's touching this guy?
Yeah, I don't know.
And arguably better than what he's been.
Yeah.
Ever in the history
exactly.
of the show,
and
my God, the crying scene with the son—just incredible, incredible acting.
Right.
But I did notice that neck. I feel the next day getting up. Yeah. He's in the bathrobe.
Yeah,
and he's he's recommitted.
Him,
yes,
right.
I feel like Eisenberg.
Yeah.
is coming out.
It's coming back. Yeah, I mean he's still obviously nursing his wounds, but you could see the transformation of that away from the pathetic to I can't let my son see me like this. Now he has a whole new reason. That story he gave about his father and that experience at 6 years old, and that's now a driving force. He does not want his son to see him the way he saw his own father. That frail.
So you're right. So now, right. So now he's
frail,
got more.
Exactly. Now he's got a whole new drive.
And John, I geek out on the writing, and I geek out on the subtext of dialogue. I remember as a kid going into the hospital.
The chemicals.
Yes, the Lysol and bleach.
Yeah.
coating my lungs, and I took that as Walt was poisoned even as a child. Not poisoned with his cancer per se, the literal sense.
Metaphorically?
Yes.
Yeah.
Is that he, from seeing the father like right. that, he was poisoned with a bitterness,
yeah.
with a feeling that of taste, shortcoming, yeah, that, yeah. you know, and again, just right. this the writing.
And how strange that he would become a chemist, and that was such an important yeah. and mm-hmm. such an impactful time in his life. He goes, and it really was the chemical smell. I just thought, what the irony of that,
yeah.
to say that was so impactful to him.
Is there any irony in the fact that, and again, Walt Jr., the best acting, he's a great
yeah.
actor, the yes. kid, but this was just incredible.
Yeah.
Is there any irony in the fact that, you know, he's talking about the father being so crippled, and he's describing yeah. In detail what happens with this disease?
Yeah.
Is there something significant or ironic with the son's condition?
Because I thought they were going to make some sort of connection to it, and I think it's just there rather than, because there's no direct correlation between Huntington's and whatever his son has.
No, but do you think symbolically speaking,
yeah,
is what his son
yeah,
is.
Right, but do you think, Ben, you know, it's no coincidence
right.
in terms of the writing? Is it, mm. Is it all tied together?
I would think so. I mean, that's what it doesn't seem like they put anything is haphazard. It seems like these things are thought
out.
Like
maybe the father was like this and my son's like this, just yeah. making him more angry that,
yeah.
you know, that he's going to rage against
yeah.
weakness.
That's
or being a victim.
I thought there was definitely intentional that his father was, had this condition mm-hmm. and that his son does too. Knowing the show, I don't think they just kind of gave them both those
randomly attributes. Put that in there.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah. I think you're right. I think this, as we know, best written show on television, best written show in the history of television. I don't think there's any mistakes, but I mean, there's any coincidence in that. But talking about Walt Jr., like how amazing that, you know, I was just. I wasn't blown away about how decent he was and how mature, because you
yeah.
could say he's a really sweet kid.
Yeah.
What really was blew me away was like, you know, that's the most real you've been in a year.
Yeah, that part
how astute.
God. And you know, and I'm going, oh man, not what Walt wanted to hear.
Nope.
And I go, what? Oh, that was a great line because of that. Walt having a whole new drive, and then there's that conflict about, wait a minute. This connection that I'm trying to have with my kid, which, you know, the whole thing, the whole Jesse thing where he's, you know, at the end of that, when he is in the bed and he's going back to sleep and he says, whatever he says, and he says, Jesse, he's talking to his son, Walt Jr., and he calls him Jesse.
That's good.
Oh,
Jesse.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that whole father-son thing that
which
he's
we've
got
been
going
talking
with Jesse,
about.
Oh,
and,
my God.
And the
relationship he is trying to have with his own son gets worked out with Jesse. But then he misses out on the whole relationship he could be having with his own son.
His son.
Because of all this craziness. And the tragedy of that, he didn't have a father growing up. Now his own son is losing the father.
He's really not having a father.
He's not having a father now, too.
No.
So he's passing it along.
And the only person he's being a father to is Jesse.
It's
and
Jesse.
He's not doing a good job
no,
at that
No, he's doing
either.
A horrible job at it. But then again, he had no role model. His dad died at 6.
Yeah, and so we learned more.
Exactly.
And it was interesting, guys. He talked about his mom or grandma to Junior
yeah.
as if she's still alive.
Yeah.
So I would guess that we're yeah. going to see her maybe next season, if
as
not this season.
As she can be, I think, the way he said it.
And just to tease this after the commercial break, later on our show, we will talk about our
yes.
meeting with Aaron Paul.
Yes, absolutely.
We had him in at the Emmy Gift Suites.
Yeah.
We did a special edition Breaking Bad show,
right.
just kind of recapping things. Mm-hmm. And he sat in, which was just incredible.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about him and what we talked about off camera and some of the plans we want to do with our friends from Breaking Bad in the future, or at least the goal for the finale.
Here's the other thing I wanted to talk about with Walt.
Sure.
I love that they take their time, meaning they gave – remember the Hank soliloquy he had a couple of episodes ago when he was talking to his guys, laying out the case for Gus and how he's involved.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jesse had that whole, another page-long dialogue, not dialogue, but, you know, his page-long thing when he was at the AA meeting and he went into his whole thing.
Right.
Now Walt has his with his backstory. They give these great, 3-4 minute scenes where
Incredible.
It's just one guy talking. I'm not. That's crazy in TV.
I'm going to jump away for a second. I'm sorry. You know, Woody Allen always said what frustrated him about American audiences is that they only could sit through 90 minutes. And wasn't you told me, John, he always had to have his like his comedies like 90 on the nose, not even a second longer.
Yeah, he wouldn't do that.
And it was one of the things he talks about that frustrated him, whereas your European audiences will hang, hang it for 2 hours, 3 hours. So I've said this last week. I feel as though we're watching a 13-hour feature film, and it's spectacular.
And isn't it amazing? Because in those scenes where it's one guy talking, I'm never wanting it to move on. I'm completely entertained,
love
enthralled,
it.
Compelled. I'm just going.
Well, you know,
I don't even want the story to stop.
No,
tell me more.
It really kind of separates this show. One of the many things that separates this show from
others.
The rest of TV.
And again, you know, another guy who gets a lot of crap thrown at him, but Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah.
But he says, as a filmmaker and an actor, he said, you know, why can't I do 5 or 4 or 6 movies? He's like, because that's 12 hours to develop. You know, take my character on a journey.
Yeah,
he's like, you know, the today's TV shows, especially the ones today. He said, you know, you get 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 seasons. To develop.
Yeah,
develop the character. So,
and normally, what we see in TV, or what we have been in the past, is that characters don't change. I mean, the reason why people keep tuning in is because of the same character over and over and over, and you just get to see them go through these.
But Sopranos, we're seeing.
Yeah, we're throwing it out the window.
These docu journeys.
Yeah, we want these characters to change. We want them to evolve. We want to see that journey. We're interested in investing our time to see that happen. Whereas, you know, the 90-minute thing. That Woody Allen's talking about seems to be where did that go? I mean, we do have as a society have a shorter attention span.
No, but that's not what I mean. That's the irony is that we have the shortest attention span ever. And on the one hand, I had this discussion with Kathy Lee, our friend Kathy Lee Gifford.
Absolutely.
You know, John and I worked with her, and we've all become good friends. And you know, she was talking because Kathy loves acting. That's her first love. That's what she studied.
By the way, did a fabulous job for us in the movie.
And Serial Buddies, thank you.
We'll talk about too.
We were having this discussion about how you know there's a lot of reality. You know, ironically, we were with Kris Jenner. We had a dinner with Regis and Kathy celebrated birthday together, and Kris Jenner was there, and you know, our own Maria Menounos was there as well, and I was the usual fly on the wall. But there's Kathy being Kathy and boldly enough saying, it's reality, that's all crap. And there's Kris who's sitting there and just kind of laughing it off. But we got into the discussion of, isn't it crazy that we have all this like reality insanity, and yet conversely have the most amazing like.
But that may be the reason why it's working, because those of us who like reality are still hungry for storytelling. We've never been able to get away with that, and not that reality doesn't have storytelling, but we're looking for a respite from the quick thing and nothing happened. We're looking for something more than just the quick thing. I think that's what's happening.
It's evident.
Yeah.
Because that's what's happening. It's just it's unreal in our society of like the lowest attention span. the fact that we want to sit through 12, 13, 14 hours of this.
And can't get enough of it.
No.
Yeah. And it keeps us coming back for more every week.
I mean, and I literally, as I'm watching those scenes, I'm amazed at how after the scene I went, wow, how long was that? I don't know when I'm watching it, but then it reminds me, we sat there and pretty much uncut. We didn't even have a cut to another shot.
I think they kind of kicked that off in season 3 after Hank beat up Jesse. He was kind of sitting in his bed describing to Walt exactly what he was going to do for about 5 minutes. And then I've been noticing this happening
letting those things
go. Such patience as a director.
And courage. Because usually you would be cut. No, it's too long.
Right.
Move. Nope. We got to move. And they are trusting that the audience is with them. The story is compelling enough. I don't need to do anything but tell it. So that's what's amazing to me. I find that.
I think, you know, it's tons of reds, the red plane.
Yeah. Just while we started off, the first thing we saw after as we open up on the show is the phone ringing, the counter in the empty kitchen, and just the one white tissue
and
with the spots of red on it the bloody nose.
You know, I'm noticing more muted colors, you know. But we're seeing reds. We're seeing
the whole factory at the end was red.
It was all red. You know, obviously the sun. had the orange shirt on, yeah. which there had to be a tie back to the orange car, you know.
Something. And it was interesting. Jesse was wearing orange when he was in the factory in Mexico. He had he was the only guy wearing the orange jersey. Everybody else had yellows. Everybody else
And the factory had yellow lights.
Exactly. So there's just the tie-in between the two sons wearing orange.
And this is the first time I noticed this, guys. Lots of tans.
Yeah.
Walt's bed, tan sheets in red.
Yeah. His whole house was monochromatic. It was almost void of color except for the splotches of red.
And then Better Call Saul had a tan shirt underneath it was red and purple. Like I think it was a purple tie and it was purple and red. I don't know the specifics. It's the first time. I guess maybe that tan is a muted form of the yellows we were seeing with Gus,
right?
Initially, and when we get hopefully when we catch up to Mr. Gilligan and his posse,
that's right.
I want to find out exactly what it means.
I know what the heck they're doing and why.
Just incredible.
Right now, it's all conjecture. But let's start. I wanted to talk real quick because we shied away from the Skyler and just that whole first scene with Skyler. And the phone, and she's trying to get Walt to be part of his son's birthday. We've kind of touched on the whole father son and how he's not even there for his kid right now. And that whole, as soon as she says, I forgot the paper, could you go get it for me? I knew the car is coming up, and I'm going, oh no, it's going to be nowhere near what the Camaro was. He's going to be so disappointed.
Yeah.
And I just was already going, oh, I don't want to see that because she, it's just going to pale by comparison and she's going to feel horrible that she couldn't, give her kid what he wants.
So why didn't she come up with something a little bit more hip? Is she just a nerd? I mean, what?
I think, she did her homework and, that's the one she felt safe with. And I think more than anything, she's really trying to run the story. Mm-hmm. I can't get you anything fancy because that puts us on the map. The whole reason why she's giving the Beneke the money is so that they don't get noticed.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I think it has everything to do with that. She just wants to think, I just don't want anybody to notice us. Yeah. Da, 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 please.
That was the sole reason she got rid of the Challenger.
Exactly. Right. Not very nondescript PT Cruiser. Okay, that's kind of hip, kind of, I don't know.
I was happy with it.
It looked pretty used. A dent in the side.
Yeah, a little bit of a dent.
Away. Yeah.
But a perfect car for somebody who just owned a car wash.
They just inserted the dent just to let you know that it was used and it wasn't.
Would you have been happy with a car like that, young man?
I mean, it's especially if I hadn't previously owned a Challenger.
Yeah, exactly. That's the only thing.
That would have been fine. Yeah.
Yeah, of course. It would have been great.
And look at the shot. He rings his buzzer and it looks like a jail cell. Look at guys. All the red iron.
And all the jail.
And they're all red.
Yeah, exactly. Then, they use that device a lot.
We're watching the show in studio, you guys. It's the exterior of Walt's apartment.
Yeah. And was this the best? Oh, my God.
When he pulls off the sheet.
And it sticks to his wounds.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
God, the metaphor there is amazing. He just can't. It's just now part of him. It just can't get rid of it. Just watched him peel it off. Sorry about that little pause there. But what I mean is that the shots that they use, they shot a lot where they sit inside the room and they just show the opening of somebody either leaving or coming in. And you get to narrow the focus. So all you're doing is paying attention to the one person in the tiny frame because of what's left over because of the light and negative space. I like the way they use it. They do it a lot. They did it like three times in this particular episode. When everybody's coming into the warehouse in Mexico, mm-hmm. they close it down. You just see the opening and you just see the guys coming in. And I don't know why. It's just they use it a lot. Oh, here's another one. This is a great shot where they're
opening the garage door.
Yeah, garage door is opening. Walt comes, stumbling out in his tidy whities.
Yeah, blood all over.
They love that shot. They used it so many times. And it's very effective. So anyway, we're talking about Sky, and let's go back to her with, she obviously knows that her son's not happy with the car, but that's the best she can do under the circumstances.
And
how about her? Go ahead.
She calls Saul to go fix the problems with the old boss and the IRS, and Saul thinks it's a bad idea.
It's a bad idea. Yeah. Saul knows better. He knows people's motivations. He knows what drives them and everything, so he knows.
And, it is very typical of those guys. Working in the carny business.
Yeah. Instead of just so getting out of guys, trouble, starting over, no, hey, I got
it's
it.
Right,
hey,
yeah,
just
no,
spin
it's,
the plates
it,
again.
That's it. It's just a reinforcement.
Right.
to continue on with their bad behavior.
Yeah, but what I love, you know, because I thought for sure they were going to use. In fact, I predicted it last week that she was just going to give him the money and say it was part of Walt's earnings from gambling, and then that would be the way he would Beneke would pay off his IRS bill, and then he'd be off scot free. But no, they cook up this other idea with the lost great dead aunt or the great aunt that's been dead from Luxembourg or whatever, and he buys it. Of course, he buys it
I just love how Saul put together the story. Yeah. Like he had the basis for it, but as he's going along, like really, I wasn't in the will. Like, or I don't know of any aunt that would put me in the will. There was no will. Right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's so completely false.
Yeah.
And the guy buys it because he's so desperate and he's greedy. Mm. He's just greedy. Mm. That's pretty much it. Which is about everybody's Achilles heel in this, is that they're greedy in some sort. So, but of course he buys it. And what does he do? The first thing he does, he doesn't pay off his IRS.
Nope.
Just can't, again, everybody in this just can't get out of their own way to save themselves. But and we thought when Skye went there, and the first thing she does is when she finds out that he bought or leased a Mercedes and didn't pay off his IRS debt, she says, "Where is he?" And I thought you were saying, what did you say? Let's go gangster.
Oh, I said, ready for gangster bitch.
Yeah, exactly. I gangster really wanted her guy. To go. I wanted
it's
her
still
to just go
come.
At him. I wanted her bad to just go at him. She went in all demure and stuff like that. And
but look at what she did to an IRS agent.
That's true. It's true. But
don't worry.
Yeah, I know. I just wanted her to go.
He's not going to win.
Look, you mother.
Oh, yeah.
That money came from me. And she did finally fess up. Not fess up. She finally told him that money came from me. So right. Now it's going to be interesting to see what he does with it.
And the temptation, is to, for me, and is to see, at some point, Walt go protect his wife and just stop. But I don't think they're going to go that route. I think we're going to see Skylar show that she's worthy.
Well, yeah, every chance we've had where she's had an opportunity for either Walt to step in or to take a different role. Let's face it, she was at the crossroads, literally. She was standing at the four corners, flipping a coin.
Mm. Right, what should I do?
Exactly, and she went back. So
Skylar?
Exactly, and put the money in. So now when she's in, I mean, it seems like every step she's doing, is showing her stepping up rather than letting anybody else take care of it or,
And we kind of left it off. It's still up in the air. We left it. She said she admits.
Yeah.
Where do you think they got the money?
Exactly.
And that's all we saw until next week.
Aunt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel bad. I don't want to go backwards, but I had a question for you guys. Walt Jr. told the mother that he was sleeping over a friend's house. This is his first lie.
Well, that's what I thought was interesting. We didn't go back at it, but this is where it starts, because what does Walt do? Don't tell your mom. Mm. And that's one thing, but then he says, he really makes him look, not only do I want you to lie, I want you to lie for me to somebody else. I mean, there's that whole thing. It's that slow seduction. This is where it happens.
And remember, little thing. The kid did it, already had lied on his own successfully.
Yeah.
Is this his first step into hell?
Yeah, because this is what they've done. This is their modus operandi. Every time it's a rational thing, okay, it's just a little thing, and then they do it, and then it's so much easier to do the next one, and then the next one, and pretty soon you're so far down the line, you went, what the hell happened? How did I get here? In fact, Walt even says that. This is all my fault. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was not only saying that to his kid in that's his son in that scene, he was saying it to himself. This is all my fault. I did this. I'm sorry. And I think at that moment he realized, I've put myself here. Where everywhere else he'd been rationalizing and trying to come up with, I had to do this, I had to do that. I think he was finally seeing and acknowledging to himself consciously, at least at some point, that I've done this. I've done this. I've put us here. It's because of me.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas it was because I had cancer, I had to take care. Remember, it was I had to take care of my family. That was the motivation before, And there are plenty of ways you could have done that, but no, you chose this road,
right?
So, and this was his first time he actually admitted it. Now, granted, he was kind of not completely conscious because he was on some painkillers and some booze,
right?
But that was the first time he actually said it. Mm-hmm. Every other time he'd rationalized it.
Do you think I'm reaching? But I'm going to throw it out anyway. Do you think that in his perverted mind, when he says it's my fault, does he mean going back even further in life where he made decisions with his business and his, the way he kind of burned bridges or whatever, or kind of got screwed out of his deal? And, yeah. I mean, did he mean that, or was he really being honest, saying it's me for doing all this crap, selling meth and getting us all in trouble?
Well, I would like to think that the better part of him was thinking the whole thing. I let it all go this way. It started when I didn't stand up for myself way back when, and I went down this road. And then, because let's face it, as he was going down the road where he was feeling less than, at any moment he could have chosen something else. And whether or not it would have worked out for him, that's a different matter. But he chose not to. He chose to stay, continue the path that was leading him down that quiet desperation. That's what he'd been living. That's the life he'd been living. And that's the thing that I think it was all stemming back. I think the whole thing he was kind of admitting to himself. That's what I think.
Mm. Amazing. And should we move on to Jesse?
Let's do that. Yes. And just one more time. When he said, "That's good, Jesse," and he said it to Walter Jr.
Thanks, Jesse.
Yeah. Wasn't that... first of all, I wasn't exactly sure how Walter Jr. took that.
He was sad.
Sad, but I was wondering if he was going to put anything together.
Oh, yeah.
I was thinking that too.
I don't think he will. He obviously didn't hear, but I think that will come back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That will come back. Thanks, Jesse. Mm-hmm. That whole thing or whatever. That's good, Jesse. Whatever the line was. But that was just, that hurt. And I thought for sure the kid would have been gone. But hey, good for him. He stayed. Mm-hmm. Well, that was pretty good.
And fixed his glasses.
Whole thing he did.
So, is it helping the dad to see better? Like, is there any symbolism behind that?
We would want that.
Is it just him to see clearer to be more of an ass kicker and
It doesn't seem like Walter Jr. wants him to be an ass kicker. He likes the real Walter.
I want my real. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's the most real you've been.
Because there's a way to have that authentic power without being the ass kicker.
Right.
And I think, obviously, that it seems to me that that's what Junior wants.
Yeah.
He liked that guy who's authentic with him, not the guy that's putting on...
Well, I think, but I think seeing the kid in the past get so excited about things, like he got excited about the gambling, I think if the father were honest about the meth thing, he'd be excited. I think he's been dishonest,
because he thought it was cool that he was gambling.
Right.
He thought that was cool.
So I think he's just had such a front, which is why I think the kid at some point is going to get sucked into this.
Yeah, well, he's already lying for him. Lie about the gambling.
It's our first step.
Exactly.
Moving on to big three, Jesse, Mike, and Gus, heading down to the scene of the crime.
God, how bad. Now, Jesse, I'm telling you, he surprises me every week now.
Yeah. I mean, he surprised Gus and
Mike. Tell, they were impressed.
Oh, yeah, that was a great little cutaways to them in their face and stuff. And Mike is like, good job.
He
tails off the chemist.
Cheering.
Just eviscerates him.
Yeah, and your boss, my God, how many times have I dealt with middle-of-the-road pukes in this effing business that we're in show business.
I wouldn't be here if you could do your job.
And why don't we tell your boss, why your boss, how many times I've had to say that in so many words. Like, it's all the little effing peons and middle management types. Like, really? Well, your boss
brought me down here.
So,
that was amazing. And the balls that guy had to even start in on him. He goes, really? But that's what everybody does.
But,
else gets called in because you can't do your job, and the first thing you do is try to attack him.
Oh, you judge him. You think you're insecure. You're losing your ground.
You don't look right. You don't have the right.
And as we know in this business, John, this is always what they do. John and I's first job on writing for a Disney show, I walked in, and that was the first thing, just attacked by, I was the new guy, attacked by everybody.
And I was not ready for this. This is the first room I'd been in. So all of a sudden, there was this feeding frenzy.
On me. But that's why John and I became friends, because he didn't buy into it. But the average schlub, that's what they do. They attack. And it's just nature. But I love how Jesse just rose to the occasion and was like, you know what, bitch?
Exactly.
And step up and clean this place up. And they were like, it was just great to see. They were like, they were so proud of him.
And you can really see how he's been tested by fire and how it's now being becoming part of who he is. Whether before, when he would do it way back in the early seasons, it was all a front. It was all just,
He might be the only one that's actually, I think Skyler too, the good is coming. I mean, they're developing skills.
Right. Yeah.
Positive skills. I mean, I think he's better now.
Yeah.
I know he's in a tough situation.
Right.
But from what he was, the slacker punk who was going nowhere,
That's my point. Yeah. It was developed. All just hot air.
And the same with Skyler as well. I mean, even though obviously she's in a scary place, she's proving to her, even herself, that, wow, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. She surprised herself.
Yeah, I'm not some bim. Yeah, like,
it's amazing what we can do when we have no options.
Yeah.
Shove ourselves in a corner. We don't have any back doors to go through.
Yeah.
So he stands up to the chemist and just basically reads him the right. I put him in his place, which is great. And then the next time we come to them, he's making the meth.
Mm-hmm.
And I turned to both of you, I think, because they were testing it. And they were finding out what percentage or how pure it was. And Walt's really was 99%.
I think it was. I mean, I remember.
I love having Ben. Ben's so astute. I give you so much credit.
Yeah.
I think in Box Cutter, I remember Gail telling Gus that he came up with 96%.
Yeah,
and
did he?
He's proud of that figure, yeah. But Walt's was 99.
Because that's what I was wondering, because I remember the 96.
Yeah, and he was like, if that 3% doesn't sound like a lot, but
it is.
It is a lot.
But that's, so I'm glad Walt's still Top Gun.
No, yeah, I am too. I really didn't want Jesse to be Top Gun. Mm-hmm. But here's what I thought was interesting. I remember the 96 number, and he beat the 96 number.
Yeah.
Jesse beat Gale.
He beat Gale.
Yes.
He beat
the, and it's in terms of his purity.
Yeah.
Impressive. And he's not a chemist. He doesn't have the letters behind after his name and all that kind of stuff.
Well, Walt admitted, remember, a couple seasons ago, you are good.
Yeah.
You're, and he always knew he's a good student. He just was a slacker.
Exactly. He had no direction. And again, you look at his and the reason why. I mean, here's what I thought was interesting. We were talking about Walt. Now, we just learned that he never didn't have a father after the age of 6. We know that Jesse's family kind of just disowned him, just kind of let him just got rid of him, basically. He had no direction and no support, no family, all that kind of stuff, left on his own. And you know, Walter kind of stepped in as a father figure. And what could he have achieved with that kind of support and direction? Interesting.
Right.
Hmm.
So the two of them both had that same thing going on. And they both, I imagine, you know, let's look at it even farther. Jesse was Walter not doing the right thing, just like he didn't get those jobs, getting a high-paying job in some corporate or whatever.
Same thing.
Exactly. It's the same thing if you look at it in that way. Anyway, interesting there. So after we go, we see that he gets 96.2% on his purity, which is very impressive.
Yep.
Yeah. And then what happens is when he thinks, oh, good, great, we all go home now, and they go, okay, great. First of many. You're staying in Mexico. Yeah,
the cartel owns you now.
The cartel owns you now. Thank you for the line. And the look on his face was, that was great. I didn't see that come. Of course, I had seen all the.
And I thought, I thought that Gus was like setting him up and leaving him there.
I kind of thought that too. Like, I looked at him and it looked like Gus had come to an agreement to give them Jesse.
Exactly.
But
until we found out from Mike, says, kid,
either we're all going home or nobody's going home.
And
once he said that, I was just waiting for it all to go down.
Interesting. And then let's go back to the, so they get the 96.2 and then they show, I beg your pardon. After he tells off the chemist, they show the cutaway to Mike and he's looking, yeah, way to go, kid. And he showed a cutaway to Gus. And I remember the look in Gus's face, a little smile he had, and I was thinking, he was thinking to himself, I really did see something in you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I don't, maybe Gus wasn't just manipulating. Maybe he really did see something. Maybe he is trying to coax that out of him. I don't know.
I'm sure Mike's been filling him in about he just continues to kind of rise to the occasion. His instincts are good.
Yeah, because he did have good instincts. Yeah. Good.
I think Gus was legit in saying that he sees something in him, because you could tell his face went from his usual
stoic,
his normal,
face
to
not
even that
smile.
Big.
Exactly. So subtle. He was just really, really subtle.
Is it hard for you guys to trust Gus, based on what he did to Victor, because Victor was really a good worker.
I don't trust him for a second.
That's why it's like it's a little hard for me to drink the Kool-Aid with and think he's going to kind of like stand by Mike and stand by.
No, because every move he's made is directly helped him. He hasn't really done anything
just the fact that he killed Victor, who I thought was a great worker and a great earner for him, and that he just... I get that he was made.
Yeah.
He was made by the cops. They saw his picture.
He had to go.
But I thought he would send him away or something like that.
Would think something like that, but no.
No.
But because what he did was, not only did he kill him, he used it...
He spun it and used it as an effective tool to freak people out.
Right.
So it's like one of the things I thought of last week, the week before, when Walt said, you know, you're loyal to the wrong guy, I wanted to say, Really? Because you just saw your guy, like, just kill Victor in cold blood, who was one of his best workers. So, really?
Why would I be loyal to that?
Right, because the bell's going to toll for me.
Because as soon as I make some tiny mistake, I mean, who knows?
I'm dead. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then at the same time, and it wouldn't be good writing, I don't think, if this is true. At the same time, I think my sense is he is going to be loyal to Jesse.
Well, I don't know. I think that's what's great about the writing is I can't tell. They do such a good and he holds his card so close that you can't tell. I mean, just that look on his face when Jesse stepped up, you went, whoa, did he always see that? Or did he just saw it then and went, hey, wow, nice job. I mean, I don't know.
I think he saw potential, but I mean, for him to step up like that, he was like, wow.
But okay, so he saw potential. How amazing is that? Because what potential did he see? Where? When?
Well, I think, you know, hearing the fact that the first time they tested him, when they had the fake guys come, his instinct was to jump in the car, go after him, come back when he didn't have to. Then I think probably hearing about how he handled the meth heads, where Mike was just going to sit there.
No, I knew all that, but he said that before. I mean, he started testing.
No. He it was after at least the fake hold up.
Definitely after.
No, I know that, but what I mean is he had to see something in him before he started testing him.
Oh well,
why would he bother?
I'm going by. He said something. I'm going by. He at first just used him to divide and conquer.
Right. Exactly.
I think it was all set up, but then when they saw how he was reacting, I think he was like, "Wait a second. Oh, maybe I was wrong."
Yeah. That's what I'm wondering. Did he really see something all along?
I don't think so. No,
probably not.
It was divide and conquer.
Walt,
I think,
had a line: "Keep your friends close and your enemies closer." I think that's what he was doing until he realized maybe
I can use this to my advantage. Yeah. Because he clearly every advantage he can get out of somebody he uses. Mm-hmm.
He's amazing, and I'm sensitive to it because I believe, you know, his lover to be killed and his partner to be killed in cold blood.
Right.
It just made him so hard.
Oh, yeah.
It just hardened him.
I mean, look at his life. I mean, there's nobody at his house. Mm-hmm. It's just him.
Mm-hmm.
And he really does just go to work.
Yeah, he's all business
and
now.
And I'm going, why?
All his humanity is gone.
What does he spend his money on? Why is he making all this money? Mm-hmm. To what end? He doesn't seem to have anybody to share it with.
And we'll find out more about that country because, he comes from and where.
That's what I'm wondering about.
He was apparently big. And
yeah, that's what silly. I'm. Because there's got to be a reason for him to do this.
Mm-hmm. I've heard he has said the kids don't like fish when he had dinner with Walt, but you've never seen his kids like.
Didn't see anybody there. So maybe they're somewhere else. I mean,
there may be a beard
we just
anyway.
Haven't
but
seen it yet. Yeah, exactly.
And I mean, when I saw him stand before that pool where his poor
great
boyfriend was pushed in the water and the blood was everywhere, and seeing him, I felt like, man, he must be so upset.
This is 20 years now. He hasn't let that go. That's
no,
sure.
Has not let it go. And there they are back to the scene of the crime.
Yeah, exactly.
Same place, you know. Where it took place before. And so
let's get you. So we're at the scene of the crime, and Don Leandro, is that his name? Don Leandro? Don Eladio.
Don Eladio.
So he comes down with all his, you know, bosses and et cetera, and they have their little meeting. And then we see the box on the table with the ribbon around it. Ken, what did you think before you opened it?
Oh, I was a nervous wreck because I was like, it's got to be something, you know?
Yeah. And then, you know, it's got to be a real gift because they wouldn't have been able to get in here. And of course, it was the bottle of tequila or whatever it was.
We haven't even thought of this. I was thinking of the irony about the poison. Was that Jesse and Walt's poison?
Yeah. No, I don't think so. But what I thought was interesting is if you go back to the 20 years ago, remember he'll get him a drink. Will get him a
genius.
Drink if he wants him to drink.
Yeah, great call, Joe.
Yeah,
that's right.
See? And so he brings that because he knows the drinks that's part of this ceremony here. It wasn't just bring a drink. He wanted to do it because that's what he remembers from that other meeting.
And notice that Don wouldn't let him have a drink last time,
now
he gave him one. And of course,
wasn't it great when Don Eladio was sitting down there? I was standing by the poolside and he opens his arms.
Yep.
And he says, Ben, he says, come here. And, you know, the look on his face was great because he knew he was going to have to do that because what you have to do, you kind of have to supplicate yourself in front of the Lord, so to speak. So he knew he was going to have to take that step, and he knew, I'm going to kill this guy. So what harm would there be for me to just take the step? But he had to look reluctant because he didn't want to, tip his hand at all to Don Eladio that something was going to happen. So he had to look
right. So he played it very well, just kind of stewing.
Exactly.
It was great.
Very reluctant.
you know, sitting and pouting on the chair as they're as they're partying. How great was it when they when the henchmen all took a shot in unison?
Yeah.
Did you notice that all these big giant heads go back?
Yeah.
Also, it I thought it says a lot. Whoever Gus is, he's somebody. He's known as someone super formidable because why would this guy walk out with
so
20
many
goons?
Guys, yeah.
If he wasn't like,
but I think he wanted to show a power. In fact, that's what kind of what he says. Nolada says every 20 years, I gotta spank you because you forget your place.
Yeah,
and I think that was his way of showing.
I'm the boss.
Yeah, and not only am I the boss, look at everybody in my corner.
Actually,
you got
the
your
bitch.
Two little guys here, and I got all these guys. That was oh my god, that was great. And then the party happens. You know, the drinking. Oh, and of course, Nolada waits for Gus to drink first.
Yeah,
which is terrific. Which was, you know, I'm going, how is he going to do this? And I'm going, he must have had the antidote already.
He took those pills.
Yeah.
Yeah,
those pills. You know, in front of the pool, and then, of course, he vomits.
Exactly.
And I don't know, I was cheering you guys.
Oh, yeah, the party's happening, all the girls around, and Gus is just sitting there. So stoked. And he's sitting here on the chaise lounge, and he's really, it looks to me like he's just staring at the pool where it all went down 20 years ago.
And John, so astute of you to pick up, I wasn't thinking that he had to play the scene that he was brooding. Because the obvious thing
would be to
be a phony and go along with it, like, you know, and then most of the mafia movies we see, it's always they're all friendly, and then out comes the gun.
Exactly.
I love the idea that he sat there and stewed and looked like he lost.
Yeah.
And that big pig could gloat.
And then they just forgot about anything. Because if they had tipped his hand at all, they could have known someone was up. They could have stopped the thing. Because obviously it took enough time for them to bring everybody out. So I don't know how long that thing that poison took to act, but it took a long time, at least in terms of poisons.
Right.
So,
it definitely wasn't Walter and Jesse's poison because theirs was
designed to take 38 hours, 48 hours, something like that. Yeah, so it wasn't theirs.
Looks like a heart.
Yeah, and how great was it to do a repeat when he has to go to the bathroom and he asks for permission from Don Eladio, and of course so they send somebody to join him, and then you see him in the bathroom and how fastidious he is and how precise he is.
Oh, he's amazing.
Lays the towel down, takes the shirt off. I mean, just like he did.
He's a total gentleman.
Right before the box cutter incident. I mean, just amazing. Amazing.
Right.
Great callback to that. I just love the way they did that. You know something's happening. You know it's going down, and you know it's going to happen.
Yeah, John says, we watch in the studio, as soon as he took the jacket off, he's like, oh, no, this is exactly what he did at the box cutter. You know,
it was amazing. I loved it. And then everybody starts just falling.
As his, after he takes the jacket off, everyone starts dying.
Exactly.
One by one.
Great. Yeah, just and quickly, man. Yeah. Boom. Boom, boom.
And I love it. Just, I'm so glad Vince Gilligan gave us the moment of allowing the Don to live long enough to look his oppressor in the eye.
To see it happen.
To see his,
the Gus to see it so he can find 20 years he's been waiting for that.
He could have the vindication. That's right.
And here
it
we
was
are.
Me.
Horrible, horrible, and we're rooting for him.
Totally rooting for him.
Absolutely. No questions. Of course, kick that money. Kill that. And wasn't it great that they got Mike in on it? That the one, the sharpshooter from last week who was, you know, shooting bullets.
Oh, yeah, no, he had it coming.
Mike, yeah, absolutely.
He so had it coming.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, and Mike was out there.
Mike
boom.
Goes right for the strangle, but didn't finish the job. Right?
Well, because he came back and...
That's what I'm saying.
He got in a firefight.
He came out with the gun, John.
Was it that guy? Because I wasn't sure. I didn't get a clear enough shot.
It was him.
Okay.
It was definitely and Mike was struggling with him for a long time.
Yeah.
He still, you know, and before we get to that, Mike, what was the chain he tore off the Don's neck?
Oh, that's the thing that wasn't that the thing that was there a chain at the 20 year ago thing?
I don't remember
the meeting at 20. I don't know, but I'm sure we'll find out about it. I thought I was trying to remember a reference to some sort of wasn't something taken from him in the 20 year the meeting they had 20 years ago.
I don't know.
I can't remember. It's either that or that's going to have some significance to prove. Yeah, I killed Don Eladio.
Okay.
His necklace.
It's
going to be something like that.
That's
my guess.
He's dead. Osama's dead.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and I got
we killed Bin Laden.
Yeah, because there's no way he would have got that
like
if he
grabbing
was
his
it.
Dog
and how about Gus just telling everyone else, take your money and go in peace?
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Fill your pockets.
Or die.
Or die, exactly. The way he's, and again, that was just like him walking out to the bullets. Go ahead, take it or die.
And stood there. You know, I think God, he lost that partner, and it's just he's got nothing to lose.
Yeah. And that's worst place you can be.
Yeah,
exactly. The worst place, that's the last place you want to put somebody is have nothing to lose.
Because
that's They're crazy.
Been there a couple times.
They don't stop.
Been there a couple times.
Yeah, exactly.
A couple times I've actually not say.
I've actually put myself there purposely.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So he says no.
It's like, okay, this is how it's going to go. So that was great. And the other thing that I like there at the end, you know, Gus, of course, still wounded. So they have to help him in. And now Jesse, I mean, just the metaphor of that. Now the three of them, Jesse's got to help them all
they're
in.
They're like totally a team now.
Jesse killing the guy and saving
how
Mike.
How about that? Yeah. Not only did he kill him, not a hesitation. And remember how he shook with Gale?
Yeah, no.
No. Again, now granted, there are bullets flying at him, so it's a slightly different matter.
It's a little different, but you can tell he's,
he's already
freaking out
boom.
The whole time.
Total gangster.
Already in less than in 10 episodes. The guy goes from somebody who's shaking in his boots, shaking as a trigger finger, and then boom, just taking the guy out. Not a hesitation. Bam, bam, bam.
And you saw a look from Mike once again. What'd you say, Ben?
I saw him look. He looked like terrified. Like he looked like he was still shaking and scared.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
during
the fight, he looked like he was legitimately scared as it was happening.
Oh, his face didn't shake. I mean, his hands didn't seem to shake. I didn't see that part. Maybe you did. I just missed that.
Yeah, I thought he was shaking.
Oh, okay.
He took quite a few bullets for him to hit his mark. Yeah. So, but it doesn't matter. Job's done.
Exactly.
And he was better than he was with Gale, and he's only going to be better for the next time. Did you see Mike even gave a look of like...
Yeah,
I really got. I owe
I'm
you.
Glad
kid.
I got this kid.
Yeah, you know, he really looked at him. He's like, "Who would have thought?
Get us out of here, kid."
Yeah, get us out of here, kid.
Yeah, that's right.
And so off they go. And I said to these, I said to you guys, said, "Boy, now you guys
predictions. Wait a minute."
Okay, sorry. Let's take us to commercial. We'll talk about Aaron Paul.
And then we'll come back.
Sure.
So, we'll do a commercial first, then we'll come back with Aaron Paul and predictions. All right, so Jesse, take us to commercial, would you please?
Want to find out what the AfterBuzz is about?
Janice is a drama queen.
This is the divide that is going to carry the series.
Give us a call. 424-256-1729. 424-256-1729.
Television, and they want it to be as dramatic as possible.
I mean, it's Shakespearean.
You never know what goes on behind closed doors.
Find out why AfterBuzz TV is the number one source for after-show content.
Now, in the eyes of Jimmy... Nucky is a villain.
424-256-1729.
424-256-1729.
I mean, who would you guys rather hear that from?
Your husband or your best friend?
The wig! The wig
Don't
will come
let
out.
That wig
when the TV show is over, get your AfterBuzz on. AfterBuzz TV News.
Oh, right. We got some news. All right, Jesse. What news we got? Are we doing the Aaron Paul or are there other news?
That is our news.
All right. Okay. So we were at the Emmy's Gift Suite Lounge, and this past Thursday and Friday. And
Broadcasting live.
Thank you. At the Carrie Feinstein Gift Suite. Right. And we had a slew of shows. One of the ones we did was Breaking Bad, of course. It was a recap show of talking about the season, talking about the fact that they didn't start their season before they could be eligible for Emmys and what impact that would have on the Emmys, etc. And who would come by but Aaron Paul himself.
AfterBuzz TV exclusive.
That's right, an exclusive with Aaron Paul. He sat down with us, chatted for 5-10 minutes. I can't remember how long.
Oh, he's there for a while.
Yeah, exactly. Really, first of all, great guy. Gracious of him to come by and say hi and sit and talk with us. And just wonderful to hear his take on things and his process. And if you get a chance, please download it. I think you can get that. I'm sure you can get it on YouTube.
I think we're going to have it on YouTube if you go type in Aaron Paul AfterBuzz. But we also...
Ustream.tv/AfterBuzzTV. Just type in Breaking Bad Emmys.
Then you can watch the whole episode, but if they, I think we're
yeah, Phil's we're trying to get it up also, on YouTube.
He's going to put up just the clip of it, right?
There are highlights of it. Yes.
Great, that's fabulous. So you can download the whole thing off you iTunes and the whole.
You can have it on iTunes as well.
He was great. So it was great to talk to him. Were you there? You were there for part of that, right? I can't remember.
I was engineering a little bit. Right,
exactly.
I was running around wrangling and doing all that stuff.
Exactly. So did you get to hear it? Because first of all, I just thought it was great to talk to him about the process and the fact that they are just as excited about us to read the scripts and to know what's going to happen because they don't know ahead. They kind of get the arcs of the season arc, but they don't know too many scripts in advance. They don't want to know. And then because they get so excited to read them. And he was saying, this is what he said to us on Thursday. He said, because we were talking how great the last episode was, last week's episode. He goes, oh, that's nothing. These next four are going to be amazing.
They're going to blow your mind.
This one was definitely better than last one.
Yeah. It was. He bumped into Maria at a party and same thing. And, you know, you can hear the interview, so we don't have to recap too much because you can see it. But when the microphone went off, he said, you know, I want you to know Vince Gilligan really appreciates what you guys are doing. He loves this. He loves the fact you're doing an after show for the show. And, you know, we love it. We think it's fantastic. We want, you know, we love the fact that fans want more content and that you're providing it, which I thought was cool. And
tell them what we're trying to put together right now.
We're trying to put together a live, doing the series finale live from John Lovett's Comedy Club. He has a multimedia studio there, and they do Kevin Smith, they do Adam Carolla. And I was thinking it'd be great if we had Maria, you, John, and some of the other after buzzers asking, you know, Aaron Paul, maybe Vince Gilligan, and some of the other actors. I know, John, you have leads. You know some of the other actors.
Yeah, we hope to get some of the other actors.
And we put together a panel in front of a live audience. We all watch the series finale together, and we do an after buzz from there, and then we ask them questions. Maybe the audience asks them questions. So I know Aaron was interested, and it's now, you know, us having a talk to, you know, about logistics, you know, making it happen. So we've got 3 or 4 weeks to pull it together, but we're hoping.
Yeah.
You know, we're excited.
That would be fabulous.
It would be amazing.
Can't wait to find out their whole scheme. And oh boy, oh here we go. Sorry, we're watching the show again, and we're at the poolside where it's all going to go down.
I don't know. I really like that what you said about how they are like they don't want to know spoilers and stuff about the story. It shows how great the story is that the actors are like huge fans of it too.
Yeah, I know.
Like, what's going to happen next? Like they're doing it on screen for us, but they're still like, what's going to happen?
As well.
Yeah, they're fans of their own show.
Yeah, I would imagine that even if they weren't in the show, they'd be watching it like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So,
who wouldn't?
All right, so let's get to predictions.
Well,
you had a prediction. You were talking about when the three guys.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
So, Kevin, you were talking as the guys were leaving. Obviously, Mike's been shot, and Gus is injured in some fashion, and you were opposing.
And I told these guys on the commercial break, because I've said it from the beginning, I had felt Walt was going to turn this around.
Right.
I felt Walt is just continuing to get beat down.
Yeah.
And I think he's going to, as we'd say in wrestling, I think he's going to score a big comeback.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah.
And when I saw Mike is shot now, and perhaps seriously, this other guy's poisoned. Are they weak?
Are they so weak that somebody has
maybe
to step
that's,
in?
Yes, maybe this is where Walt will get.
And will Jesse want to step in before Walt? I mean, interesting. If that vacuum is created, who is
going to like,
step
I just
in?
Feel like Jesse's such a loyal kid that he would step in, but only to kind of
keep things going until Gus got better?
I think so. But then again, he's also so loyal to Walt. So yeah. I don't know. I'm wondering.
But is he still loyal to him after the last
episode? Yeah, that's what I'm wondering. How is that
get the
fight?
I go back to two things. One, Walt saying, thank you, Jesse. And two, him saying, can you walk? Jesse saying to can you walk? So
there still is this begrudging respect. There still is.
He's following. He's following
Oedipal
him.
Father son thing.
You know,
yeah,
he had a line
after. Can you walk? Kind of.
Yeah.
Ruined that a little.
Well, he just said, get out of here, though. But I just think, and I think he knows deep down what the formula means to him.
Yeah.
And I think he knows it's Walt, and I think he knows he you know. This how important that is, and how he basically took it and gave it away, and I think it's gonna be. I don't know.
It'll be interesting.
I think deep down, they're still father and son. So at the end of the day, I think it's but it's interesting. By the way, the actor who played Don Eladio.
Stephen Bauer.
Stephen Bauer.
Yeah.
Was he Scarface?
Yeah, he was Scarface second guy or his first.
Wow, and we haven't seen him in so long.
Yeah,
what a great role.
We saw him in Traffic. He played another drug kingpin
right
in Traffic. So he played a Catherine Zeta-Jones' husband.
And he was just down in, he was down at the Grove doing extra because he was promoting the Scarface anniversary.
Oh,
release.
That's right. Exactly. That kind of came
so,
out.
So it's interesting. Yeah. Very interesting. He did a great job. But anyway,
yeah,
that's my prediction is I think Walt, we've seen the lowest of Walt, and I think he's going to start scoring his comeback. But I say that I'm 50-50 because he is, has been, you know, noticed in the scenes from next week. He's on the ground. So yeah, maybe he is going to go down one more notch.
You think Mike stays alive? Because they kill people off in this show.
Pretty big. That looked like
I hope they don't
because
I love his character and I love the actor.
Getting a shot in the
really
ear.
Don't want him to go.
I think incapacitated.
I think at least killed. For a while. I mean, yes. Like, kind of like they did with
kinda
Hank.
Like
you know,
Hank.
Let him, you know, get to the side for a little bit.
If he's not dead, he's not going to be here for a while.
How interesting would it be if those two are sidelined for a little bit, which leaves room for Jesse and Walt to come up, and then these two want to come back at their full power? That would be very interesting.
Be very interesting.
Very interesting. And so, lastly, real quick, Skyler. Where does she go in this? How does she get this?
She's going to wrangle that guy. That guy. It might take her three episodes to do it because that'll be her kind of conclusion. But he's going.
Got to keep the cops.
She's
going
to turn him upside down and shake him.
Exactly. that I want to see. I want to see her really step up and do the gangster thing. I wanted it in this time. I hope they'll do that with her. So that'll be good. Anything else before we leave?
No.
By the way, do you think Wake Wass thing?
Okay. Yeah.
I also love the fact that he brought girls. Now the girls.
Well,
they know. I think they know Gustav is Gus is gay, so it's even more of an insult.
Yeah,
I think you know. Just seeing him sitting there so somber.
Interesting though, that Jesse really didn't partake.
He didn't.
He did it just enough to get her away, and then he put the thing out, the cigar out.
Yeah. And that was it. It's a great show, man.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us. For another Breaking Bad After Buzz. This was episode 10 entitled Salute. We'll see you next week.
Bye, everybody.
From producers Kevin Undergaro and Phil Svitek, engineer DJ Jesse Janity, and the entire After Buzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the After Buzz TV network. If you have questions or comments, be sure to buzz us at info@afterbuzztv.com. And you can find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter by searching for AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.